1, 2, 3.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK. And with me today, our lovely co-host, Lou Moreno.
He's not wrong.
And another guest appearance from the famous DJ Ice.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back.
We up in here.
Okay, last one we interviewed you and we talked about kind of your come ups, your story, everything. And this time it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to be a little bit more technical. And I want to argue. I want to argue about this. I want to argue about stuff. Let's talk about 808s and mixing 808s. I don't think we've done an episode specifically on 808s yet.
There's Mortal Kombat about to happen.
So first off, initial thoughts. When I say 808s and mixing, what do you think?
Man, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So is mixing the 808 the favorite part of the
It's the best part of the beat.
Oh, yeah.
Best part of the beat is either going to be a kick drum or your 808. Your hi-hat pattern could be cool. Don't get me wrong. It could offset. It could do some crazy things. You might catch me off guard if you got a fire hi-hat pattern. But if your 808 not wild or it's not subby enough or you don't got nothing booming, then, like, where's the heartbeat of your song?
Yeah.
Where are you going to show me where I need to bob my head to? How are you going to show the women where they need to dance at? Like, how are you going to show us how to get the rhythm of how you spin your lyrics? Like,
but have you ever heard me mix a kazoo? I feel like you'd be blown away.
Oh my gosh.
The kazoo could be fire. However, if the kazoo ain't got a fire 808 underneath it, the kazoo's just gonna be like, yeah, man, we heard that kazoo in the mix. But I mean,
you know what, if anybody could ever make a kazoo and 808, I believe it to be Nels or Ice.
I believe it to be Nels first though. That was crazy.
That's so awesome.
I'm definitely sampling, bro, right after, though. I'm coming right back with it. But I'm only doing an FL. Because FL, the drums hit harder.
You know, so, I've been hearing about that, but I'm going to transition with that, too. Because we have a couple questions that are out here that people want to know. And one of them is the age-old debate of soft clippers.
Yo, listen. The soft clipper be booming.
Be Metro booming?
Metro booming, it be Southside and all of it. Listen, the soft clipper be booming if you know how to use a soft clipper. Like, if you use it for an effect, you're going to be great. If you just slapping it on and praying, you're probably going to have a bad time when it gets down to mixing stages. But if you know how to use distortion and all that, you're going to be fine. You treat it like with taste, like how a guitarist or a bassist would.
Yeah.
Because it's another instrument in itself. You try to bring out certain tonalities of it and all that. So the soft clipper brings out a little something in the brighter end, you feel me?
Yeah.
Gives you a little bit more crunch. Everybody's listening to it on these, so it's like, does it matter?
It's
like,
holding up an iPhone for those of you who can't see that.
It's an iPhone. Y'all gonna listen to it on these, so like...
And if you have one like mine... DK's heard it, and we're always really disappointed in my
phone.
Yours
sounds like your thing ripped, bro. The paper
and the speakers couldn't handle it.
Is a broken ear canal of a speakerphone. That's what that phone is.
But you know what? That
sounds
what
like
I
it's
really
drowning.
Know.
I don't
my phone
care
is
who's
the
NS10 singing.
Of phones.
The NS10 of phones.
So if you want to hear an 808 cut through a mix, you got to get it to cut through my phone.
Hey, so I got this reference point right here. If it don't get through this phone, it ain't going to hit in the club.
You know what? Somebody once told me their reference point for a sub monitor was. He said, I go to the bathroom at my house, and while the 808 is hitting, I'll look at the toilet bowl and see if I can see the ripples happening in my own home. He wanted to see some Jurassic Park shit in his... toilet.
Yo,
in order to make sure the 808 hit hard enough,
I'm about
to cause
I just found a whole new way
to hit the toilet.
Yo, actually,
I just found a whole new way to check my 808s.
Put a cup of water.
For me, dude, the ultimate check for me. Shout out to Maycon for this one.
Oh,
every
God.
Time I'm
oh,
mixing
God.
Drums or 808s or bass of some kind, low end in the studio, and I get it like to that point where you're like, okay, this is good. Like right when it hits right, with either volume or EQ or some shit, Maycon will say, "Damn, DK. That's hitting so hard. I gotta pee now." Like, it's like that bass just resonates, and he's like, "I gotta pee, bro." And I'm like, "That's when the bass is right."
So, man, P levels was crazy.
Man, so one of my favorite things to do on like 808 mixing, because I know a lot of people like to use limiters and things like that, which is, you know, it's cool with me, but just run it through tubes. You know, tube emulations or hardware tube, whatever you got. But voice, one of voice my favorite of God. Things. Yeah, voice. Oh,
voice of God. Voice of God.
But one of the cool things was that I used to have a Demeter preamp, which is basically a recording preamp specifically for bass instruments. Mm. So it only had like an instrument input, no mic pre, nothing like that. But it was a nice tubed one that I actually used to take everybody's 808s, run it through that, and it would actually give enough tube saturation to where the bass just cut through that much better, but it still had that really, really deep resonance that, like, you know, a good 808 when you can feel it in your chair. When you're just sitting down, and even if you don't hear it, the room just shook, but in a very natural way. Like,
those would be the dangerous ones.
So those are the Rick Ross 808s.
So that segues right into our second question by an anonymous intern. The second question asked is, how do you make an 808 stand out in a mix?
So, boom. And I learned this from the homie Matt Bricks. Y'all go follow Matt Bricks. Matt Bricks fire. Matt Bricks, I'd watch him mix his beats. And Bro Gain staged the most amazing way. He took everything to zero. He took everything to like below zero. Like, he took everything to nothing.
Hmm.
And then brought out the melody, and then brought up the 808, and then tucked everything else in. So the way that I kind of see mixing now when I approach it is the same way I kind of look at weed rolling.
Mm-hmm.
You laughing, but wait, yeah, just wait, I'm just waiting. Wait till I break.
Come on, this is gonna be like the this new version just, of Pensado Soup.
This is wait, starting to feel like wait till I, Joe, wait till, Joe Rogan.
Wait till I break it down. So boom, I'm trying to smoke. What am I going to need? And I'm going to need some papers. I'm going to need some leaf. I'm going to need some filters. I'm going to need some weed. I'm going to need some fire. I need a lighter. It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So boom, I got all these ingredients. So I got my vocals. I got my background harmonies. I got this ad lib track that he did, blah, blah, blah. So I got all my ingredients and everything like that. And I roll spliffs. That's why I said the leaf and the paper for everybody. The fuck this nigga need both? Let me put you on something. So get my little fronto, get my little leaf going. Boom, cut that. Roll up my filter. Boom, that's ready. Grind up my weed. Weed's ready. Grab my paper. Crumple my paper first. Get it nice and ready. This is all what I'm doing in Pro Tools with vocals, with beats, with stems and everything like that. I'm tucking, I'm gain staging.
Remember,
I'm
no doing, stems in weed, though.
Doing all that. No, we ain't doing stems in the weed. We're doing stems in the session, so. So I got everything in order. Now what is my job? I got everything. All right, you got everything in formation. Now you got to tuck. I'm going to tuck these vocals in. I'm going to tuck these vocals in. The best is the beat. The beat is what I'm considering the bass for all this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tuck. Keep tucking. Ooh, I got a shape. That's a shape. Roll. Link, put out the track.
Smoke that joint.
You feel me?
Because that joint is fire.
It's that simple. So you get the beat. The beat could be a backwood. It could be a paper. It could be a fronto, your leaf, whatever like that. You got your bass. You put your weed, your vocals in there. Then you tuck that motherfucker in there until it's perfect. And then you got a solid track right there. You can smoke that. That's audio dope.
And I think that one of my biggest takeaways from that is actually the fact that for a lot of people that do roll often, it's kind of a combination of you're not really paying too much attention. Like, you're almost blissful. Like, you're not, like, trying to, like, measure it. Like, it's science.
Oh, yeah. Like if you're trying to be a scientist, like, if you're a maniacal roller, you weird, first off.
Yeah, so if you're, like, trying to make it super sciencey or, like, really analytical about it, it doesn't work. And the second thing is, like you said, the shape sometimes is different every time.
Every time.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Everything will smoke the same.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, like, so according to drums... So you're saying you make it fit in by matching in the volumes, like getting that volume.
I'm starting. Right, if you so first off, it's sound selection. At first, when I was like starting to come up. I had no idea what sound selection was. It's I was like, yo, man, I got these sounds from YouTube, and I'm finna go up. Or I got these sounds from whatever site I did. That's it.
That's how I was with drums. I was like, I'm going to go get a drum set. And I don't really know anything about
stands. You came home with tuning. You came home with that Fisher Price drum set.
Oh, yeah. The Toys R Us.
And tried to get it. You tried to go.
Yeah.
You tried to go Beatles on that, John.
Then I went and I was like, cool. I'm just going to get the Pow Pro $100 mic kit for like 13 mics. Mm-hmm. That should be amazing.
That's going
to
be great.
And then I listened to the recordings. I'm like, what does it sound like? Doo-doo.
Sounds like disappointment.
What is this? Sound selection, people, is a big thing. Whether you're recording samples, if you're recording live drums, please educate yourself on what it is exactly makes a record sound great. And part of that, actually the majority part of that when it comes to production, aside from being creative, is having good tone. Whether it's good kicks, good 808s, good guitar.
You got to tune your 808. You got to tune your samples.
It's the same reason I say that not everybody that thinks they can sing should be a singer. Not because you can't sing or you have a weird tone, but realistically speaking, sometimes you need to find a unique sound for yourself. It could have effects. It could have delays. It could have anything, but you don't have to be Celine Dion every time.
Yeah. And I think it's actually really important to bring up that not every tone is for every song. Like,
exactly.
For example, some songs, it slaps like really subby with no harmonics, just like really low, right? Some songs, it's like, I got no low end and it's distorted as crap and it sounds amazing. You know, like, yeah. And it doesn't work for every. So it's like sound selection doesn't mean you have one kick drum that knocks real hard or one 808. That means like reading the song.
You have to know how to fit the vibe.
Fitting into it, yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta think about it. You can't just be coming with the same kick drum on every joint. Like, bam. All right,
you're not gonna have Van Halen solo over her.
I get your sound, but I know you got two kicks.
Yo, it was about this time last year when Nels came up to me and we high fived at Cold House, and he came in for the night and I left for the evening. And he said, "Yo, DK, you gotta listen to this kick drum." I said, "Yeah," and he's showing me this kick drum sample. And he's like, "Yeah, that used to be a synthesizer." And I was like, that used to be some sort of like, this used to be a sample or something like that. And he like turned it into a kick drum or an 808. It was disgusting.
Oh, you should see the things Ice is doing with the sampling.
So tell us some of your secrets. So we don't really talk too much about production. What do
That's
you
terrible.
Recommend?
Why?
About, because it's a mixing podcast. But like, this is a good point. Let's bring
up
production.
We did have an episode about like the
we
stages
talk about
of production,
production
and how to actually go about making a record. But you know what? It's good to have the view of a producer. Who is actively getting paid to produce.
Mm-hmm.
Two, me and DK are actively getting paid to engineer. So we can understand production from the point of view as an engineer,
mm-hmm.
but you really know what it is to be a producer in the room, getting the artist from point A to B. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's the insight you can offer more than we can.
Yeah, not producing from a mixer's mindset, but a producer from a producing from a producer's mindset, a creator.
Yeah. Because you really make the records that we engineer.
Most definitely.
You know what I mean?
So tell us some of what's kind of your go-to thing, or how do you like to start, or what's your system, your flow?
I start with melody first.
Melody.
Anybody can start with drums. That's cool. Drums slap. It's just a fact. Drums, you can get lost in drums for hours back in the day, make a fire drum loop. Now you got to sit all day and find a sample that matched that intense drum loop that you just made. That could take hours. You're going to get tired of the drums and things like that. If I start with the melody, I could feel everything out before I go and make things, you know, staples.
Mm-hmm.
Before I go in and I'm fully, you know, working with fire and I'm burning things. I can kind of just test the water with things like, ooh, how's this hi-hat swing?
Yeah.
How's this rim shot sound here? If I were to place it, oh, I don't like it there. I'm gonna take it and put it over here.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel like that just goes back to the old school relationships of bass and drummer. Realistically, like the bass player's got the groove of the song. He may come up with the concept and be like, "Yo, give me four to the floor real quick. Like, let's hear what's going on." And the drummer would be like, "Oh, it'd also be dope if we actually were to do it with like these kind of tom patterns starting out, and then switch over."
And then switch to this pocket.
Yeah. And that's how like a lot of producers are really their own bass and drummer relationship, but it has to start with the melody.
Mm-hmm.
Because same thing. Imagine the drummer just walks in and be like, "Yo, I want to play this pattern." Okay, well, all right, let me figure out a bass line for that now. And the bass player may be tinkering around a lot, but it's a lot faster production if it's more, the bass player walks in with the melody and says, mm-hmm. hey, like, what do you think of this? I kind of like this groove. Like, I was thinking it can go this way, it can go that way, it can go that way. But a drummer can't walk up to a bass player and be like, hey, here's four to the floor. I got this idea for a melody, but it's that on, that's the only melody I made this beat for. You know what I mean?
That's a fact.
It's a sad day in those days.
It really is, because that's, it's just the way it goes.
Yeah. So when you're working in the room, you know everybody wants the 808 loud. Mm-hmm. You're producing in the room with the artist. Obviously.
Yo, artists hate me, first off, because I don't make things...
Your 808s are the loudest fucking thing in the room.
I don't make things loud until they leave. So, like, during the whole session, every artist would complain to me and be like, yo, turn it up, turn it up, turn it up. And I'm like, yeah, you're not finna compromise my ears for this session.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy what I do, but at the same time, I know that I'm only going to be able to hear for so long because of the job profession that I chose. Like I said, I've been doing this since I was 9. So, my ears, I don't know how long these joints is going to stay crisp. So, for right now, I'm going to try to preserve them for as long as I can. I mix really, really low so that my mastering engineers have room to do what they do best.
Dope. Yeah.
I love that.
That's actually the way you kind of realistically...
But nah, artists hate, like, artists hate me. So I'll make it loud, like, when they leave, I'll turn the eight. Yeah, my 808s are loud after the fact. But when I'm making the beat, you're going to hear at least 50 complaints like, yo, can you turn it up? Or during recording, yo, can you turn the beat up? And I'm just like, yo, man, you're not finna overpower this beat and overwrap this song.
Yeah.
Just so you can be heard. Like, you can be heard when you get out the booth. And then you can get hype. And then we could celebrate and throw a whole party. But until then, yeah, you're going to stay at around, like, I think I'm maxing out at, like, negative 12.
Yeah, really? That's honestly, that's the same for me.
I'm maxing out at, like, negative 12 dB when I'm tracking.
Yeah, what's funny is a lot of people talk about, like, where's the sweet spot of, like, tracking vocals, sweet spot for tracking, like, live bass or whatever. But the reality is, I always tell people it's case by case. So what my favorite thing to do is just drop the 2-track that they provided me all the way down to where when the vocals are hitting, like, minus... 18, minus 16, minus 14 max.
That's considered minus loud. 12.
Yeah, that for me is like, hey man, you're going to have to start turning down the fader on the vocal. Like, I prefer that because it gives me a ton of headroom. And, you know, like, you asked me to work with Ari because of my history with, like, Keisha and other dynamic, like, female vocalists where it's like, you need all the headroom for days.
All the headroom you can get because the vocals finna fluctuate.
But because of that, I've noticed that these same... like, more dynamic vocalists will ask for their headphones to be louder because I have to keep their mic slow enough to not distort on the way in. So what do we end up doing? We put some, like, near zero latency limiter on the send to their headphones, or we just do an external really loud cue box for them.
The cue box boosted.
Yeah, I'm always walking into the booth like, How is this thing
so loud?
Yeah, it's like,
how did y'all listen like this?
Like, the drummer has his volume lower.
Like, how many headphones have we broken this month? Like, the last couple months? It was like 3 pairs or
Let's
something
see.
Like that.
People, 2 Audio Technicas, a Behr Dynamic, and
if you get them so loud that they break, that's
guys,
impressive.
I get the high resistance Behrs, the 250 ohms. They're meant to be really hard to get loud enough. For a reason, not because I want you to have your headphones louder, but they actually have a better sound. But the sad part is, I've never actually seen anyone except for, like, a client in the booth break one. Like, I've never met an engineer that broke one, never met a producer that broke one, but it's always in the booth.
You are running through that. You find out. You're running through the little labs, though.
Man, shout out to Jonathan Little from Little Labs. He makes an amazing headphone amp called the Mono Tour. And I gotta say, it's the only headphone amp that I guarantee
my clients will have their
ears bleed.
Oh my gosh. Tour. I just got that.
Yeah, because you can. The amazing thing about it is this: I keep a monitor. I actually keep 2 with me at all times. Like, I have one that was at Keisha's house, and I have one at Nick Cannon's studio. And the only reason that I have them there is because they always ask, like, "Why doesn't my headphone sound great?" But then you see they only got like a $50 headphone amp.
Yeah.
You know, or they're running through, like, cheap cables and everything. There's always some skimping going on here and there at everybody's studios. But when I finally tried this headphone amp out, I'm like, this is perfect for the hip hop clients and where, the R&B clients where
it's so they amazing. Want
bleeding headphones every time. Because it can get so loud, I've watched them destroy the headphone with that headphone amp before they actually ever asked me again,
it's such a
can
great
I
amp.
Get it louder?
Dang. It's such That's a great so amp. Crazy. I've, yeah. Be careful with your ears. I think DJ Ice brought up a good point. You know, take care of yourself, your ears.
I'm not finna max out my ears just because you want it loud right now. Like, we're not going to go back and forth on this. It's not negotiable. It's nothing personal.
Am I
it's
getting just, hazard pay when we're loud?
I just want to know, like, when I can't hear my kids scream for me, like,
damn,
are you finna pay the price of this? Like how does this work? Like, is this fall under you because you had that session and you were trying to break my speakers too? Like,
yeah.
I just want to know.
Yeah, respect you, gear people.
I just want to know.
Yeah.
So let's see. More things about the 808s and the drums. Within the hip-hop culture, let's talk about acoustic drums or samples or something versus digital, like 808s.
Yo, Jake One got some of the hardest snares that I think I've ever heard in my life. Jake One's percussion kits and
does
drum
he do
kits
acoustic? Or
yes, bro. He's nasty. It's amazing.
That's
I'm more of a live kick guy, but synth 808. Really, because I grew up with metal, so I'm so used to.
Wait, hold on. Wait. You said a synth 808. Hold on, I'm trying to think. An acoustic 808, just like recording
no, acoustic kick and synth 808.
No, but I'm saying like, how do you make a acoustic 808? Just like pitching it down. Actually, that would be a good idea.
If you really think about what an 808 is, it's just it's a sine wave. You know what I mean?
But, literally.
Well, not just a sine wave. It's really just a synthetic bass note created by a bunch of different waves.
But it's also percussive.
It's also percussive, but if you think about it, like, if you got anything and just filtered it out, like, let's say you get
anything
a truck
can get turned
driving
into an
down the road and it's shaking the road. You know it's got a lot of bass content to it. If you were to filter everything above 60 hertz on that and then set that to like center C.
Yeah.
And then just play that. That's your 808. You just made an acoustic 808 from a truck driving past you. Those heavy things are shaking my walls and I can record it and make an 808 out of it.
So the question is, how do you treat differently digital drums versus acoustic drums in a hip hop mix? Like, which one is...
Man, listen, if the drum's going to slap, the drum's finna slap. So I'm finna do whatever I can to make them shit slap. I don't care if it's synthetic. I don't care if the motherfucker was made by Van Halen. So if you feel like it don't matter to me. Yeah. The drum sample is a drum sample, wherever you got it from. It could be recorded on a little iPhone speaker. It could be recorded on this microphone right here, provided to us by Lawton Audio.
Lawton.
It don't matter.
That's my theme song for them. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a terrible singer. Can we auto-tune that in post?
We got you. In post, we got you. You know what key you're in? That,
I'll put some
reverb on it,
too.
We'll try it on mixed in key. We'll figure it out.
Ooh.
Okay, auto-key.
But,
shout out to Antares, too, one of our other sponsors.
You feel me?
Yeah.
But, okay, so what do you think about compression on digital drums? Because in acoustic kits, compression is because the snare hit is never going to be the same.
Bro, what does a compressor do?
Exactly. I don't use compressors on samples like where it's the same velocity.
A compressor is really just going to control dynamic range, but when a sample is the same volume all the way around, like you really don't need a compressor.
You don't need it, but sometimes it distorts.
It's gonna make it louder if you want it to.
Sometimes it adds
you can
that
get a little more.
I'm not compressing shit.
Yeah. You know what I tend to do more than anything on percussion? I actually do minimal compression. I actually do more transient designing.
Transient designing has
adding tracks and all that kind of stuff. But my favorite one is Transgressor 2 from BOZ because you can actually do frequency dependent transient design. So you can actually make like 200 hertz to 400 hertz on the kick drum resonate longer, but you can also kill the decay at like 60 hertz. So you have more of a woofy kick. Or you could do the opposite. Have more resonance at 80 hertz and drop everything on the release frequencies around like 200 hertz and pass. And then now you got this long tail kick or long tail resonant like 808. But realistically speaking, like frequency dependent transient designing is a form of compression. but it's a very unique way. It's almost like EQing the actual performance of the sample.
I see it as like top end design type of deal. I'm rocking with the SPL joint.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. With the one from Plugin Alliance?
No.
Which one?
I think the official one.
Yeah. Okay.
And what about okay, so we're actually gonna
come up with
a new question here. But what are your favorite, like, we like
to distort. Bro, how could you read that?
I got my glasses on.
That shit says best what?
Best coloring method. So,
nigga, you need best handwriting method. What the fuck?
This shit is dying. Bro. I'm writing on
this nigga picked, he had 64 out of the box that he could have picked, and he picked the lightest, Sharpie that he could.
Bro, it's not writing on
this. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah.
He had a whole white box.
FedEx box
that he could have.
So what are some favorite ways to distort or try to find a different color or tone?
Man, throw whatever on it.
Decapitator is my favorite. Currently.
Decapitator.
Yo, which man, listen. Sound toys. It's almost Black Friday, so we finna talk.
Cause Sound Toys.
I need the bundle again. Y'all playing games with my emotions.
They actually have. Did you see that they released like what they call the effects rack?
I'm not not doing it.
No,
I need the standalones.
The standalones are still gonna work if you get the bundle, but they also include effects rack now in the bundle. So if you get the bundle, you'll get all the standalones, but they include effects rack.
We gonna see.
So it's just like so you can chain all of the different.
Exactly. Plugins. Like if you wanted to throw that on like some vocal throws, you can add Decapitator and Echo Boy and all that kind of stuff and do it all in one plugin versus doing it in three or four.
Yeah, I'd rather do it in three or four.
So Decapitator, how do you like to use Decapitator?
Depends on what it is. Since we're talking like production on bass, I actually like to just set it to punish automatically. Like I really want
to
hear
set it to punish, what are you doing?
Because you can always blend it down, but Punish is really giving you a very obvious show of what you're choosing between. It's like Neve or the API emulations and all that. But I really like their tube emulation for 808s, especially like super deep subsynthy ones. And then taking the mix knob down on that. But you can play with the darkness or brightness on control on it in the center. That way you can really shape, like, okay, am I getting really deep on the 808 or am I actually making it a little bit brighter, wanting it to cut through a little more and filtering out a little bit of that low end? Voice of God is also great for that.
Voice of God on 808s.
Mm. Yeah, add Decapitator and Voice of God behind it. It's really good.
Done.
Yeah.
What about you, Ice?
Bro, I'll be cheating. I'll be using so many things.
You be using lo-fi? Distort lo-fi.
Yo, man, I'm one of the only chosen ones that don't use lo-fi.
Thank you.
Using low, I be seeing it in sessions and I just be like, yo, niggas, this is weird.
The saturation is weird on that one.
It's just like, y'all, this, all right, I guess, like, different strokes for different folks. Like, I guess. It's not my thing. So I'll be rocking with stock shit. The Sans Amp.
Oh, the Sans Amp. The bass
PS1A?
Yo, I have no idea. But it's in Pro Tools and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's
stock. I rock with that.
I've never tried that one anyway.
If we're talking non-stock, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I've been able to not use Decapitator because I use that. I rock with Max Bass, mm-hmm. R Bass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give y'all one more. Let me think. I'll give one for the FL people. Learn that soft clipper.
Soft clipper.
That soft clipper. See, it came full circle back to soft clipper.
Learn the soft clipper.
Please learn it properly, guys. We get a lot of files.
FL gives you a mix knob. Mm. It gives you a mix knob. You can dial it in on how much. It's basically like you doing like parallel compression.
That's exactly what it is, but in just a more colorizing form.
And so as we wrap up the show, I want to say the last thing is, my favorite, if you're listening right now, for 808s, I'm going to throw in the Black Box HG2 and the Vertigo VCS3.
Can we throw a third?
Yes.
Ozone 9.
Ozone 9's, just ozone in general, their saturator.
Their saturator, the fact that you can choose different types of saturation frequency as you choose it.
All right. Like, I like that. All right. Since y'all throwing these, I'll throw in the T-Rex.
Oh, yeah. T-Rex is great. T-Rex is actually dope.
I've never used T-Rex yet.
T-Rex slaps.
Yeah. T-Rex is actually a really cool tool to actually have in your arsenal, especially if you're starting out. Like, they're actually pretty cheap.
So before the camera cuts out, we got to end the episode. You can find us on YouTube as well as listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening. Please leave us comments, subscribe, whatever, follow, everything, all the above. Find Ice on Instagram at
DJ Ice with two E's .tfo.
.tfo. That's right, that's right. And we'll have his link in the description below as well again. Thank you so much for listening, my friends. Happy mixing and stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
If you'd like to take advantage of my free guides and online videos, please check out links.dkmixes.com. That's links.dekeimixes.com.